A few years ago, one of the many short story ideas that float in my head and my notebooks started to fill out, or rather fill in. My sense of it gained substance, the way that a soft summer cloud condenses up into an iron grey thunderhead. It would make a great short story, I could feel, and it was time to work it out in a bit more detail. So I took my idea for a walk round the park. And halfway round the pond, I realised that it wasn't a short story at all. It was a novel. It was a novel, and I already had two in the queue to be written. It's happened more than once. My story mind seems to work most naturally at novel scale. But the problem with novels is that scale. Writing them is like being Michelangelo, nose up to the paint to get the shadow inside Adam's right ear just the right shape, and simultaneously being Pope Julius II standing at the west door, saying that the left-hand angel is 3 feet lower than the right-hand saint. If you only work close up, letting the bricks and the brushstrokes dictate the story, you risk ending up with a patchwork of nice moments and intriguing little ideas. If you only concentrate on the vast vaults and soaring pillars and use whatever brushstrokes will fill them most efficiently, you risk ending up with 5 strong acts formed of no more than serviceable words and off-the-peg ideas. So a lot of how I write a novel has emerged from the need to think and work at both scales at once. I do huge amounts of what I don't call research, but reading round. I soak in my materials, but don't make detailed notes, because that makes it easier to do what novelist Rose Tremain calls leaving the research behind. And I do lots of what I don't call planning, because planning implies shutting off possibilities. I call it imagining on paper. And my imagining might be sketch maps or pen portraits, a bit of plot engineering, genealogies of families or enemies, splurges of zero draft writing, clusters of ideas and images, or the shape of the story's skeleton. These days, I'm better at looking at the skeleton and seeing like a ghost the flesh that it's not yet clothed in. I look for where things might get better for my characters, where they might get worse, where the triumphs could be and where the disasters need to loom. And these days it feels safer to trust that the writing itself won't turn out too ordinary and off the peg. And then the longed-for, dreaded day comes when I have to start chapter one. I try to write fast. I always write forwards. That way I stay as close as I can, which isn't very close, to the experience a reader will have. And it's just as well that my planning was all in pencil, metaphorically speaking, because a great deal of what I thought I'd do turns out not to be quite what the story needs. At the end of the first draft, I also have a couple of 100 notes for the things I didn't stop and do because I was writing fast and forwards. I deal with those notes. Then I read the manuscript through at the speed that a reader would, finding problems but not solving them. I solve all those problems, working forwards. I read it like a reader again and find more problems. I solve those. And so on, round and round. Then I print it out and read it aloud, every word, finding repetitions, idiocies, awkward sentences and lapses in the voice. That's more notes, more problems. When at last I'm convinced that the only problems left are 1 or 2 commas, and simultaneously convinced that the whole novel is, in fact, a disaster because I'm the worst writer in the world, I know it's time to stop. The truth is somewhere in between, of course, but I don't know what that truth is. Then I send it to my agent and wait to hear the truth as she finds it.